It's our Wide Open Road, the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour with Sanderson Ford.
An easy listening Saturday morning. Good morning to you all here at Rosie on the House. Visiting this morning with Mr. Robert Steve, the editor of Arizona Highways Magazine. One of the things I love about the magazine is about 3 years ago, I could always get to the one section of the magazine that showed the cover from 50 years ago. And the first thing my mother did when we got to Phoenix, Arizona at 56th Street and Thomas across from the Motorola plant in a two-bedroom home with seven kids was buy a subscription to the Arizona Highways Magazine. She would use that. My dad was an adventurer. There was never any place he didn't want to go. And every trip we ever took was packed with side trips and adventures and things he would uncover. And between Arizona Highways Magazine and his good friend Bob Hirsch, we saw the state. But I can recognize the covers. We've been reading it for 50 years.
That's terrific. That's great to hear that.
You know, Rosie, just talking about that, we were just coming home from New Orleans this past week and just realizing how much open space that we can access here in Arizona. You know, as you go through Texas, it's all privately owned. And I'm like, well, can we drive over there? And you're like, no. Well, hey, can we go look at that? Well, no. But in Arizona, there's just so many places you can get off the road. One of the things they have on the website for Arizona Highways is a 1946 National Parks map poster. And it just shows so many places you can get out and really, really enjoy the outdoors.
Yeah, we have, you know, and that's a great point. We have more than 35 million acres of public lands in our state. We're actually only, you know, it's the third most of any of the, Alaska crushes everybody in that. Actually, Nevada is the second most, and we're actually the third most in terms of total acreage. So it's a great point. And a lot to see out there.
A lot of good boot time or horseback time.
Yeah, speaking of that, actually, something really cool that's happening today, and I know we always talk about hiking, Rosie, there's something happening today. It's called the Arizona Trail in a Day event, and what's happening today, hikers and mountain bikers and equestrians, they're traveling the whole length of the Arizona Trail, which is 800 miles, so it's they for this event. The trail was broken up into about 100 sections, so there's at least 100 hikers, and more, obviously, as you're hiking with your friends and things. So all 100 sections of the trail are being hiked. You have to do it in 24 hours, and this is to celebrate the National Trail Systems Act, which was signed into law 50 years ago, that we're celebrating that this week, October 2nd, 1968, that bill was signed, which created, you know, the Appalachian Trail and ultimately the Arizona Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, and all these great national trails that we have today. So any of you listeners out there who are close to a segment of the Arizona Trail, and in our area here in Phoenix, it kind of comes up through the Superstition Mountains, hit the trail today and be a part of something really, really cool.
That is cool. You know, as my mom used the Arizona Highways as our adventure guide, you've got a couple recent issues that would make, I mean, all your issues would make a great, but you had a September issue that was Get Into the Outdoors. It was, the cover says, Explore Arizona's Backcountry.
Right.
Another recent one that's a lot of fun is the issue on ghost towns.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting you ask that. We have this ghost towns book that we did in, I think it was 1992, and it is one of our best-selling books. It's just there's this great intrigue in Arizona. Obviously, we have a high number of ghost towns in our state. And, you know, for us, it's just one more excuse to kind of get in your car and go out and explore something. And, you know, there's not always a lot to see at a lot of these ghost towns. It, you know, sometimes it's just a few old buildings. But when you get to these places, and I know you and Jennifer have been there because you're great adventurers in our state. You know, you just kind of step back in time a little bit and get the sense of what it was like to live there. And then when you think about how some of these places were just thriving to such a degree. I mean, some of them had, you know, car dealerships and things like that, and they were so prosperous. And then you look at them today and you know, not much there.
I get there, I pull up a chair, and I talk to the adobe walls. I talk to the collapsed roof rafters. I talk to the termite and dry rotten wood sashes.
What
do they say to you, Rose?
we have our own little private peaceful conversation. Mm-hmm. It's just really a spectacular adventure. So the Ghost Towns edition is a particularly great one for families to get their hands on and use it as a guide to jump in the car. Most of these ghost towns are available and accessible within a sedan. You're not needing a high clearance. There's a couple that you mentioned a high clearance might be a good idea, but there's a lot that are available in sedans. The Explore Arizona's Backcountry is another excellent way that you can get out there and just kind of get to the trailheads. And if you're not so familiar with camping or pushing in overnight and all that, just push in 1 or 2 miles with the kids and explore and come on back out and get back to the car and the hotel or wherever you want to stay and just get the kids touching the great outdoors. Robert, where have you been recently? Have you had any time to get?
Yeah.
Do you know that this last rainstorm came one day after the end of the monsoon season? The monsoon season ended Sunday. The rain hit Monday. And it will not be recorded as part of our monsoon collection.
It's like the warranty on my car battery.
Yeah.
It always, you know, my battery dies the next day after that warranty expires. But yeah, isn't that crazy? Wow, you know, yeah, some crazy weather, and it's a good point to bring up, as I think we all know, the, you know, 89 going up north to Page was washed out. The great folks at ADOT got that thing put back together in a short amount of time. So that road is now open again. So if you're headed up to Page or the North Rim, but it's an important thing to point out that when you go out on some of these back roads to explore the backcountry, you should call ahead, call the Forest Service or the State Park or the National Monument, whatever it might be, and just get an update on those roads because, you know, 35 million acres of public land, there's a lot of remote backcountry, and it's hard for all those folks to keep up with all the maintenance on that. But recently, yeah, I mean, I do get out, and I've got some great hikes planned. I'm headed up to Bear Wallow up in the White Mountains, and trying to beat the snow up there, which is okay in the forecast. But not too long ago, I did this great trail, which I didn't really know anything about. It's called the Hyde Mountain Trail, and it's up near Camp Wood, north of Prescott,
yes,
off Williamson Valley Road. Which, you know, for your listeners who are just, especially this time of year, just looking for a great scenic drive, take that Williamson Valley Road north from Prescott. But Hyde Mountain's this great sort of remote spot. It's actually easy to get to. I did not see a single person out on the trail, which is usually
my kind of hike.
Yeah,
my kind of hike too.
Yes.
Yeah, my measure of a great hike. And so you get up there, and there's this old fire tower up there, and it's unique because it's not a tower; it's actually just a structure. You're so high and so remote there that they didn't have to put this fire tower on stilts. So you get up there, and just the panoramas. You know, you can see the San Francisco peaks to the north. You can see, you know, you can, on a, you know, if it's clear, you can probably see 50 miles in every direction. It's really, really spectacular.
Isn't there a Springs Trail, too, off Williamson?
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. There's a lot of really great trails up there, and it's just not a place most people go to. Most people sort of head up to Flagstaff, which, of course, is always a great option, but there's other things in this state, too.
Let me ask you this. You're going to head over to Bear Wallow. Aren't you going to be smack dab on the very edge of the Wallow Fire?
Well, that's a great question. That's what I want to do. You know, it's been several years since the big fire. And the Bear Wallow Trail, actually, which is where that fire started, the fire kind of blew out away from that trail. So that trail actually didn't get hit as hard as some of the surrounding areas. But obviously, there was damage. But as you know, up there where they get a lot of moisture, where aspens grow, things tend to fill in a lot quicker than they do in some of the other parts of the state. So really, yeah, it's a great question. I'm going up there for that exact reason. I want to see what it looks like. I happened to be in there about 6 months before the fire and that previous fall. And so I haven't been back up. So, yeah, I have a little pause, you know. It's like going in, you know, walking into a war zone on some level. But I'm excited to see all the new growth that surely has happened up there.
May see some good color, too.
Yeah.
We were there camping 1 year after the fire. And I thought it's going to be years before I can ever come back here. It was just too
Romy grew up camping in that part of the state. That's
Oh, yeah.
Our favorite corner of the state.
And we went back this summer to an area just south of Big Lake, about 12 miles.
Yeah.
Found a nice little meadow. And there's still a lot of devastation that you see, but it's not all charred black. But the fun thing was the wildlife was back to the
They're
Wild
all
Mountains.
Back. Yes.
You know, it was under fire restrictions, so we couldn't have a fire. So we would just drive around at night and look at the meadows. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there was just every meadow something else was in. We saw huge herds of deer and elk. And one day in the middle of the day, three antelope walked in front of the meadow in front of us. And we just sat there under the trees, shade, and watched these three antelope just graze their way across the meadow. It was a lot of fun.
Well, aspen is the first significant tree that comes back after a fire, mm-hmm. and they love aspen.
Yeah, that's good eating, man.
That's good eating. And there are meadows where Romy camped as a kid with the rest of the family up at Tenney Mountain, Middle Mountain, the upper Campbell Blue River, all burned, devastated by the Wall of Fire. But there are meadows that we have pictures of the kids in there that, Robert, is so thick right now mm-hmm. with 8-foot-tall aspen trees, you literally cannot even walk through the meadow. It's that thick.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's a great lesson in ecology watching, you know, all that rebirth up there. And it's going to be a long time before we have, you know, those big giant trees again. But in the meantime, it's coming back.
We're going to have a lot of fall color. I think that whole Wall of Fire, and I'm looking for the silver lining. I mean, I wish it had never burned. But with the aspens coming back, that whole 480,000 square miles that burned are all coming back in the aspen. We're going to have fall color. Escadilla actually mm-hmm. burned to the ground in the 50s.
Yes, it did.
And so the first time I ever saw it was in the 70s, and then I just grew to love it, and Terry Flatt up there on the top and the fire tower and all that was one of my favorite places in all Arizona to be. And this brings the topic of fall color. Where will Robert and his family, of all the pictures you've seen, of all the resources available to you, what will be some of your fall color little adventure road trips?
Well, you know, it's a fall break coming up this week for a lot of school children in Arizona. So I have a twin 7-year-old. So dad and daddy-daughter trips all over the state in the coming week. So we're going to head up to Flagstaff and tool around out toward Hart Prairie. That's definitely one of my favorite spots up there. And, you know, you don't get solitude in that sense, but it's still such a beautiful spot to go. And heading up to the White Mountains up on the Mogollon Rim and beyond over toward Greer to see what's going on out there. And, you know, and you talk about fall color in Arizona, and I got in trouble about 7 or 8 years ago. I put on the cover Autumn in Arizona and why it's better here than it is in Vermont. And, you know, it created this great uproar around the country, and the story kind of went viral. We heard from the governor's office in Vermont, and it was all tongue-in-cheek, but the point was, you know, fall color in Vermont lasts a couple of weeks. Here in Arizona, you know, fall color started a long time at the end of August, you know, up on the North Rim. And we get fall color into January, into some of these riparian areas down here in the desert. So, you know, if you're listening out there and you're thinking, well, I can't get out. You know, fall lasts a long, long time in Arizona. And there's just different places, you know, you can go. You get up in Oak Creek Canyon. I mean, it doesn't really hit yet until early November up there. So there's lots of opportunities in our state.
And, Robert, you probably know this, but have you seen the leafometer?
The leafometer? No. Is that like a rosy pass?
Not quite. You go to flagstaffarizona.org. Jennifer found this a couple weeks ago. And there is a link on it that says leafometer, and you click on it, and it brings you to this page where it'll show you, like, okay, when we looked at it 2 weeks ago, everything was still green, but now Arizona Snow Bowl is into the yellow, and it'll go to orange and then red. It'll show you where the Arboretum is. That's in yellow. Oak Creek is still in the green. City of Flagstaff is right between yellow and orange. So if you are going specifically for a fall color, you go to flagstaffarizona.org and click on the leafometer.
That's great. That's great insight, man. Thank you. We'll put that up on our website.